Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
As of right now, this podcast is still ad-free, but if you'd like to support us, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, or by checking out our Rise program, which is linked in the show notes.
Welcome back for yet another episode, a solo episode with Lauren and myself. Happy holidays. The holidays are right around the corner.
Yes, you were just singing such a beautiful rendition of Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah, I was singing Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
You're really embracing singing as a new component of your podcasting journey.
Yeah, I have to let people know. I got to flex on them a little bit, my vocal strings. Everyone turns off the podcast immediately. But yeah, we've got a lot of holiday stuff going. I mean, just like the entire world, we just celebrated Hanukkah early with your parents.
Yeah, because it's technically this coming weekend while we're recording this, which I guess if you are listening, it's like it's still Hanukkah because it's 8 days.
Yeah.
But anyway, my family's always kind of done Hanukkah when it's convenient.
Yeah.
We're not like very strict about when we celebrate, as long as it's sometime in December, maybe sometimes November.
I remember being mind blown. I mean, this was early on in a relationship where it's like, for me growing up, Christmas, the 25th, like it's a set date.
It's not just for you. That's for most people, Christmas is on the 25th.
for the vast majority of people, I'm sure there's an exception out there. That's true. Christmas is on the 25th. And yeah, we celebrated Hanukkah 1 year. And then the next year I was like, it's probably coming up in a couple of weeks. And you're like, no, we're going to, you know, my parents this weekend. Hanukkah is this weekend. I'm like, that's not the right date for Hanukkah. And you're like, it changes every year. I'm like, that is so inconvenient.
You didn't know that?
Well, early on, yeah.
I didn't know you didn't. Yeah.
And
it is inconvenient. But we actually make it super convenient because we're like, if it's going to change every year, then we're just going to do it whenever we want.
Yeah, we'll go with the flow whenever people can get together. So yeah.
We're much more about just keeping the tradition alive than like, you know, doing things on a specific date. No pressure. Let's just do it when everybody can get together.
Yeah. And going along that theme, we are going to my parents' house this weekend to celebrate Christmas with them. It's about a week early or so. Yeah. But it made the most sense with travel for the kids and all that on the weekend. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. So we're all over the map with our holiday celebrations, but
it's great.
We're getting it done.
It's like a movie. It's like four Christmases, except it's like one Hanukkah and one Christmas.
And my birthday.
Three pseudo.
Do we have one more? I mean, New Year's is like right there. So
New Year's, yeah.
It's like
right
four celebrations.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of hosting, visiting, all that sort of good stuff. But it's that time of year.
That time of year. So I'm sure you're all
wonderful time of the year.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't want to encourage you too much because this could get, it could get out of hand.
Or perfectly in hand. Anyway, we are now back on track and we are going to be covering the second of our 8 reasonably fit principles. Lauren, you want to introduce our principle today?
It's an easy one to remember. 3 words: health over fitness.
Boom. Podcast over.
Easy to remember, but a little bit more complicated maybe to put together what we mean by it, because last week was make fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life. That one feels a little bit more straightforward, but this one can be a little confusing because a lot of times health and fitness are actually used synonymously.
Yep.
And almost as like interchangeable. And before we go further into this entire episode, I want to just kind of give a brief overview of what we mean by health and what we mean by fitness, because everyone is going to have a different like definition of each one of those things. But for our purposes in this episode and in this principle, health is basically your overall well-being, like your wellness, your just overall
vitality.
Yeah, just well-being. And fitness is more about performance, aesthetics, things that are a little bit more specific to working out, exercise, physique, all of those kinds of things.
Very specific outcomes that you're looking for that are very quantitative.
Yes, exactly. So hopefully that gives you, those definitions sort of give you a better understanding of what we're talking about when we're seeing people chasing fitness over health or at the expense of their health. What we're saying is, like an example would be chasing an aesthetic goal at the expense of your overall well-being. Mm-hmm. And so now we'll give some examples of what that could look like, but that's what we're talking about when we're saying focus on health over fitness.
And so what we often see happening in the fitness space is in an effort to sort of hack or shortcut or accelerate results, results in the form of whatever fitness goal that they have, they will try to take unsustainable, unproductive, unhealthy measures to attain those goals at the expense of their overall health and well-being. And so we want to kind of cover some examples that illuminate that fact in both an obvious way and also less obvious ways as well. So hopefully it kind of just gets your mind going on different ways where we subtly sort of try to improve our fitness at the expense of our health.
Yeah. And so let's start with obvious ways, because that's maybe people are starting to think about what some of these might be. I think probably the most obvious one would be steroid use.
Yeah. So any sort of performance enhancement drug, this is obviously very much correlated with sports, professional sports, where athletes are looking to get any sort of edge that they can. And so PEDs will help you to build muscle and also help you to recover faster and be stronger and all those sorts of things. And that physical edge can really help them in sports. But we're also seeing this pretty heavily in the sort of social media sphere. Mm. And a lot of this is happening, I think, as a result of influencers like social media celebrities. A lot of them are now also trying to gain an edge in terms of their overall physique and strength levels and stuff like that. So these are ways they're choosing to try to stand out. So they get on some sort of illegal substances to sort of boost their physique or boost their gym numbers and stuff like that. And that is one way that they are getting attention. And the problem with this is it definitely sets the sort of, I mean, never mind the negative health detriments on their side, but it really sets this sort of like unrealistic expectation of what a normal body living a healthy life should look like. You're kind of comparing it to someone who is on these substances and performance enhancement drugs, and it's just not a realistic comparison. And then they're taking it a step further by saying, hey, you can look like me by purchasing this program or purchasing this product or eating a bunch of liver per se and doing all that. But at the end of the day, when you are taking these drugs, it is having a very negative impact on your overall health and well-being. And, you know, I think steroid users will talk about like cycling on and off and taking the right dosages and working with the right sort of medical providers and care and all that. But at the end of the day, you're really putting yourself in a position where your health is being at the expense of these
performance or aesthetic
goals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I love what you said about setting that unrealistic expectation, because I think that that's why a lot of times people get really upset when somebody has been claiming forever that they're not on steroids and then it comes out that they are, and people attack them and they get really upset. And it's not because, I mean, yes, it's like frustrating when people just blatantly lie, but it's not the lie. It's the unrealistic expectation they're setting for other people, and thinking about kids who are thinking that they just need to work out and they're going to look like that. And then when they don't, there's something wrong with them. And like, it just this snowball effect that happens from somebody taking steroids, right? And so it's not just about the negative impacts on their health. It's actually negative impacts on a lot of people's health.
Yeah. And like, you know, going back to what you were talking about with kids, like I've been seeing all sorts of YouTube videos talking about kids who are on TikTok and looking up to these TikTok influencers who are on steroids at a very young age. And it's just perpetuating this cycle of like, okay, I want to look like this person and I want to become a TikTok influencer. Let me take those drugs to, you know, up my physique and hopefully gain attention and be in that same position. And then it's like, I feel like the ages keep getting younger and younger and younger, and the dangers are not very much documented. And it's more just like, oh, you take this and then you get stronger and bigger and all that. And it's like, it is a very tough cycle.
And so I guess the other, almost other side of this would be crash dieting. So I think that I won't gender it, but more often men will be taking steroids trying to get big. And then I've experienced the opposite, where I'm like trying all of these cleanses and crash diets and things to get thinner. Like those are like the two extremes, both trying to go after an aesthetic goal. Although steroids, I feel like steroids originally was a performance goal. Yeah, like that yeah. was, it was just like athletes trying to get an edge, but it's become a little bit more of an aesthetic thing
yeah.
in terms of social media. And then on the other side of that is people looking to get thinner and get smaller. And so crash dieting, cleanses, I mean, yeah, juicing, like basically starving yourself.
Yeah. All of like the almost zero calorie diets yeah. in order to lose weight. Usually in the form of like a 7, 14, 21 day extreme challenge, trying to lose as much weight as possible in the shortest amount of time possible.
Yeah. So this is another one that's pretty obvious that not eating real food for an entire week is not beneficial to your health. Like we know this. We know that cleanses, like your body cleanses itself. You don't need to go on a detox. You don't need to go on a cleanse. Like these things are not necessary to be healthy. People are doing them to have an aesthetic outcome. And so we are completely neglecting our health when we're taking these measures and solely focusing on an outcome.
Yeah. And I think you hear about it all the time from people who have done it, even like celebrities and actors who go on these sort of extreme things for like a super specific movie role. And they're like, I would never do it again. Mm-hmm. It was the worst experience. I was tired all the time. It messed with my hormones. I couldn't sleep, like my mental health, like all these sorts of things. And then they're like, but I was able to fit into this dress, or I was able to look a certain way for this role, movie role and whatnot. And so I think that's why it continues to happen, because at a surface level, everyone recognizes that this isn't the most healthy thing that I could do. It is a short-term thing to try to just accommodate a fitness goal, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So those are some of the more obvious ones, but let's talk about some of the ones that are a little bit less obvious, a little more insidious, that kind of live under the radar a little bit, that we may not even realize when we're doing them, we're sort of in pursuit of fitness at the expense of our health. So let's give some examples of that.
Yeah, the first example, I know everyone listening has done this, especially in strength training, especially in running. Something is bothering you, a joint, a muscle group, but you force yourself through pain to complete whatever movement is at hand. Obviously, runners are notorious for this, whether it's shin splints, plantar fasciitis, stress fractures. You're going to run through it all, no matter what your doctor or physical therapist says to you. For me, I remember back when I was so heavy into powerlifting. Whoa, no pun intended there. Heavy into powerlifting.
Why? I don't get it. Oh, because you're lifting heavy?
It takes a little while, folks. It takes a little while.
I was really into your story. And I would have
my program laid out, and I would have to do, you know, 5 sets of 5 for, let's say, deadlifts. And my back would be feeling a little bit funky. Maybe I slept weird the night before. Maybe I've been sitting down for too long. And I would almost always push through little aches and pains, or even worse than aches and pains, just to get my reps in, because I didn't want to lose progress on my deadlift gains. And because that number was so important for me. And inevitably, I would either have a bad lift or I would tweak my back. And then that would set me back 2, 3, 4 weeks for me to get back to full strength again. So in this effort to try to stay true to the powerlifting program that I was following, I was trying to chase fitness goals at the expense of my overall health and well-being. And that is one that I did not learn for probably like a decade of lifting. I was like, no, I'll be fine for this time. And inevitably, the next day I would wake up with a sore back and just have to take time off. And I can relate that to my shoulders, to my knees, like over and over again. And I feel like those of you listening on the other side of this probably can relate to this as well.
Yeah. And I had the experience of being very much praised from a young age for pushing through pain. That was something as a gymnast that was like, we were prideful if we could still do it no matter how much it hurt. Like I remember I had to have surgery on both of my feet at one point because I had extra bones in my feet that ended up, it was like a whole thing, but I ended up doing an entire floor routine in tears. I was crying because I was in so much pain. And my coaches were so proud of me because yeah. I finished and I did it anyway. And like the fact that I was able to persevere and push through that pain, it was like, meanwhile, it ended up leading me to have surgery because I was like continuing to hurt myself over and over and over again. Pushing through pain was considered very admirable. And yeah. I do think that if you've been a young athlete, like, or an athlete at any time in your life, you've probably been sort of like praised for doing that, for being able to get through it. And like that can become something that you are so prideful about that you forget that pushing through pain is not going to help you toward your actual goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And you probably had an interesting situation with gymnastics, especially, I feel like, is one of those sort of areas of sport where that is a big badge of honor. Like Carrie Strug,
she was my idol.
Like the classic was it the vault?
She did her first vault. You get two attempts. She did her first vault. She fell and all she needed to do was land it and the U.S. would have won their first gold. She fell and broke her foot or sprained her ankle or did something really bad. It was like hopping down to go do her second vault, did her second vault, landed on one leg. The U.S. won. It was the best moment of all time for gymnastics. But it was insane. Like she actually competed on a broken foot.
Yeah. And I feel like that kind of like probably set a stage of like, oh, like each gymnast probably wants their Carrie Strug moment.
Yes, yeah. Like that was the thing that you strive to be able to do is like push through anything for it to win.
Yeah. And I think probably at the Olympics, that's probably the only time where it's okay.
I would agree with that.
But at your local gymnastic meet, probably not. And definitely not as a standalone strength training workout.
Yeah, a single session, 100% no. But it's like you can, that's an extreme version of this, right? But like you can trickle this down to your day to day and think about like, are there ways that I'm pushing through pain that are actually making it so that I'm not going to be an overall better, healthier person.
Yeah, like pushing through sickness is another one. Yeah. Like I feel like when you get sick, it's really easy to skip that first workout. You're like, oh, I'm sick. But you're like, when you're in like the mid to tail end and you're like, I could work out. You work out, you feel awful. You're like, you're feeling awful during the workout. You're forcing yourself and then you're upset because you're not hitting numbers that you were hitting the previous week. And you get into this whole rabbit hole of thoughts. You can tell that I've been in this position before. And again, you maybe like at best, you get a workout in that is kind of like a little bit not ideal. And at worst, you extend your sickness and you just kind of put yourself back into a few days back cycle. And it's not ideal, obviously, for your health circumstances.
Yeah. So pushing through pain, pushing through sickness, that's definitely one way that this shows up. Another way, so we talked about crash diets and cleanses and things like that, but just standard popular diets are another area that this actually for sure does affect a lot of people. And so when I say classic diets, I'm talking about just kind of like what is out there in the zeitgeist currently. So right now there's keto, there's paleo, there's carnivore diet, there's veganism, there's like opposing ones. And, you know, all of them are meant to serve as a lifestyle, not like a short-term diet. So that's more what I'm referring to, because diets, we kind of know like they're short-term. They definitely usually have a negative effect on your overall health for various reasons. But these diets are pitched as
quote unquote
lifestyle changes, right? Like paleo is just like something that you just live a carnivore diet or you live a carnivore lifestyle or whatever.
And it's never, for these, I think one of the big red flags is it's never enough for the proponents to talk about the benefits of whatever they're kind of trying to promote. I feel like they're always bashing the thing that they are kind of taking away from the diet. Because I mean, all of these diets, the thing that they're trying to do is take away a food group, take away some sort of macro, take away something in an effort to decrease calories.
Yeah.
Like that's all there is to it. Like there's nothing magical about a diet. It's just like different ways to package a decrease in caloric intake.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's always like carnivores, like it's not only talking about the value of meat and organ meats, it's always talking poorly about vegetables.
I literally saw a reel the other day that the person was like, I save so much money on the carnivore diet because vegetables used to just always go bad in the fridge. I was like, well, then just like be better about how you buy your vegetables. Yeah. Like what?
It's not the vegetables
problem. That's the most outrageous reasoning for not eating vegetables I've ever heard, that you were spending money on vegetables that were going bad. It's like, that was not, exactly. It's not the vegetables problem.
And then for paleo is like demonizing carbs and keto. What are they demonizing?
Carbs further.
Carbs, okay, further on a deeper level. It's like, I think that's a huge red flag when they're demonizing just things that are vital for your actual health.
Yeah.
Like you need carbohydrates, you need nutrients and vegetables. Like Yeah. Anyway, went down a different rabbit hole there. But basically, these are, kind of touted as these sort of lifestyle diets. And yeah, doing it is going to negatively impact your health over the long run, because you are going to be missing certain micronutrients, macronutrients, things that you need in order to have a healthy just lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think that the reason that these get confusing is because there are people who they do work for. Yeah. Right. And we've talked about that. We've had debates about this, and I'm surprised I'm the one who just said that, because you're the one who usually says that. And I say they don't work, but there are people who are quote unquote success stories through keto or through paleo and whatever that looks like to them. Like, for them, it worked. For them, they feel good on this diet. They actually, and so people will talk about like, oh, like when I'm gluten free, my like psoriasis clears up, or my this autoimmune disorder clears up. And like, so they'll, and that's real for those people. And if that worked for those people, that is awesome for those people. And I think that the problem is that we hear something like that and we think that we'll never be healthy, or we'll never overcome our autoimmune disorder, or we'll never be able to like do all these things unless we take out gluten, or unless we take out carbs, or all of these things. And so, and then when that doesn't work for us, we go further into kind of spiraling about why nothing's working, and then giving up, and you know,
and then going into an even more extreme or going even restrictive more extreme, diet. Right. And like, yeah, you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's really hard to dig yourself out of that mindset.
Yeah. But it's the reason why these don't, at face value, like they don't necessarily seem like you could look at somebody who lives a paleo lifestyle and be like, yeah, they're healthy. Like, and that's, and maybe for some people that is like a healthy, like they feel good and they feel well, and they're not like completely neglecting different areas. But for most people, if they're trying to force a specific diet, they usually end up sacrificing their health or wellness or well-being in various ways.
Yeah, totally.
So basically, as you're listening to this, we kind of just want you to start thinking about the things that you do on a daily basis, and are there any areas where you are chasing either performance or aesthetics at the expense of your health? And are there ways where you can start to shift some things around so that you're putting your well-being first? And this can be really tricky and it can be really challenging. One that came up for me that I was like, I don't know like where this would fall, is when we've had like a really long day. We just put the kids to bed. We were planning on lifting after we put the kids to bed, because typically that's when we lift, is at night. And we're like exhausted. Mm-hmm. And the couch and resting could be, it looks awesome, and it could be better for our well-being. Like there's this like struggle between what is actually better for my health and wellness right now. Is it to rest and to like acknowledge that I'm tired? Or is it to go downstairs and at least start my workout and then see if I can get through it? Because I know that getting that workout in is also going to be good for my health, because I do it in a way that is good, you know, like that is focusing on being strong and not crushing myself. So I struggle sometimes with like, what is the right choice here? And that's, so it's not always going to be obvious, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, it's never like in that situation happens fairly often.
I mean, like every night.
And it's a very case by case situation. Like I don't think we have an algorithm or a protocol. It's just all based upon feel. Like, how's my body feeling today? How's my workload and responsibility levels? How's my stress levels? Did I sleep well the night before? Like, all these like little calculations are going in our minds, and then we kind of like, okay, we're gonna do this or we're not. And then sometimes one of us goes and one of us doesn't. And like, we just kind of play it by ear. I think one of the biggest things for us, and this has been definitely an evolution for us, is that we've taken pressure off of ourselves for our health and fitness pursuits. And I think, you know, at face value, someone might look at that and be like, well, that is an excuse to be lazy and unmotivated and like give yourself outs and all that. But I think it's actually made it so that it's been very like unemotional decision-making process for us. We're able to, like one of our reasonably fit principles, add when we can, subtract when we need. And it's kind of just more like, okay, we take all the facts and considerations onto the table, and then we do it or we don't. And it's not necessarily, there's not a lot of weight attached to the decision. And so that means that when we can't, we take it away. And when we can, we add it. It's, there's no extra or decrease in willpower either way. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of where we're at, which probably sounds weird for a lot of people, but it's just something that we kind of just do because it's so part of our lifestyle, but we don't put pressure on ourselves either way.
Yeah. And I think we trust that we, like, there's so much to all of it, right? But like, we have figured out a plan and a way to fit fitness into our life that feels good to us. So when we're choosing not to work out, it's not because we're like, we know we should, but it's just going to be like, we don't want to, like the workout feels daunting, or like that we like to exercise. We like to work out in the ways that we've managed to like fit it into our lives. So choosing not to do it doesn't mean that we're going to continue to make the choice not to do it. Like, yeah, it actually shows that we really need the rest. I think that's what I'm trying to say, is that like when we make that decision, it's like, clearly my body just needs the rest.
Yeah. I think that you touch on a big point there. It's like, we've taken so much pressure away that it makes it fun. Yeah. And it makes you want to do it, which is like, it's like the backwards approach that the fitness industry tries to take, where they try to shame you and pressure you and like tell you that you're lazy and unmotivated, put more pressure on. It makes you want to do it less.
Yeah.
Take all the pressure away. Suddenly you're like, actually, I wouldn't mind doing that. Yeah. Like it's a funny reverse psychology process that happens. And I think that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's like for some people, maybe making that decision could snowball into just continuously choosing not to exercise. And like, maybe then you're like, okay, now I'm not focusing on my fitness at all. And like, that's not what we're saying either. Right. So trying to work, I think that's why this is a good order of, first, make fitness fit into your life, not take over your life. Like, once that's established, this next principle almost just happens naturally because you're already not trying to take, you know,
you're extreme just in that measures. Mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're already in that mindset. And it's like an almost obvious conclusion to take.
Yeah.
And all these principles will look different for everyone, depending on what season of life they're in and what they have going on and what their responsibilities are. And so that's why we always come back to like, meet yourself where you're at and think about what's important to you. We just try to be as autonomous as possible, or like promote autonomy as much as possible, while still trying to lay out as much of our experience that we have on the table.
Yeah. Exactly. So as you're just sort of like looking through your day and your week and your month and like thinking about how you're approaching health and fitness, just be aware, be cognizant of the fact that sometimes pursuing one in spite of the other might not be the best decision, and figure out how you can create a little bit more balance.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's about what we have today for that specific topic.
Yeah.
Lauren, is there any other life updates you'd like to share with the crowd?
Oh, man.
Sounds like I'm like announcing a pregnancy.
I know. I was like, that sounded like a leading question, but it's not. No pregnancies over here. we're very happy with the family we have. But I'm not pregnant. I am. What else is new in my life?
I think Lauren spends every waking moment right now trying to think about what gifts that we can give our kids throughout Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yes, that has been, every basically spare moment I have, I'm like, because I'm trying to figure out what are the best toys that aren't just like toys. Like, I want it to be, or what are the best gifts that aren't just toys? Because I want them to, I don't want it to just be like this one day of playing with a bunch of stuff.
And then you're done.
And then they're done. And then they just take up space. So I want them to be like, it's easier for Kendrick now because he's older. So like, there's gifts are at this age are like, 4 to 7 or 4 to 8, like they're good for like a lot of years. And so I'm like able to get stuff for him that feels like I don't mind spending the money on something that he's going to hopefully enjoy for years.
Yeah.
But Kinsley's like, she's going to play with this thing for like 6 months at most.
But it feeds into your worst fears because you feel like, okay, I'm getting all this stuff for Kendrick because now it's like going to be more worthwhile. He's going to remember it. But then you're like, but I'm neglecting Kinsley.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not fair to Kinsley. what do I do?
I mean, I'm an older child, so and so are you. Mm-hmm. But I have friends who are the younger, and they have a lot of resentment against like feeling like things are not fair between older and younger. So I'm trying to make sure things feel as even as possible, even though Kinsley wears Kendrick's hand-me-down clothes already so much. But
yeah, and all those people definitely don't say, I remember when I was 7 months old, they didn't get me that Christmas present.
I know.
But anyway, yeah, I think that's really all about the updates that we have.
Yeah, nothing really new. We'll let you know how the road trip to New Jersey goes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous, but we can do it. I mean, we've done a 5-hour trip to upstate New York, and we did it, I think, almost in all in one go.
Yeah,
we did. With one minor pit stop. So yeah. If we can go through that, I think we can do a 4-hour trip.
We're going to just need to find a Connecticut pit stop.
Midway point. Yeah. Actually, no. We'll already be there. But for future, if you have any suggestions for a good midway point from Boston, New Hampshire to New Jersey, New York, that'd be great. All right. I think that's all for today. Lauren, can you please beg our listeners for some ratings and reviews?
Please, please, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. If it's on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review, which just feels nicer than just a quick star rating, you know? Yeah, you get to tell us how you really feel.
We check every day and we get so excited when we see one. So yeah. We are putting this all out there. Please.
And that's about it.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.
Woo!